Welcome everyone once again to Todd Chaser's podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us in this very third episode. Now, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe, like, share, and leave us a comment. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Alexa, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and also finally Podchasers. Now, we're also available on Facebook. Look for us as Tide Chasers Podcast, and also on Instagram, Tide Chasers with an underscore between Tide and Chasers. Now, since I got all the boring stuff out of the way, I know you guys are excited about this episode as much as I am. This week's episode will cover everything there is to know about snakeheads, specifically the northern snakeheads. Now, it's up to our guest. Now, he may brush a little bit into the bullseye and maybe even one of his little trip halfway across the world to chase these big old snakes. Now, we're going to be going over some tactics, some gear, some lures, certain techniques, any other secrets these guys may have, they're going to let you know. Now, I myself am a total googan when it comes to snakeheads, as this is only my second season. But lucky for you guys, my co-host and also our special guest this evening have been targeting these species for well over 5 years. So tonight, I get to sit back with a pen and paper, as you guys should do the same, with a bucket of popcorn and take all this info in. So at this time, I would like to introduce to you my co-host for this in each and every show, Mr. Dan Mancari.
How you doing, everybody? Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm here with a good friend of mine, and actually, I'm really excited about this episode because this guy next to me, Trung, the founder and owner of SS Custom Baits, the original snakehead stalker. I've learned so much from this guy. He'll probably be very humble and say that he knows a lot of other snakehead fishermen that are better than him. He's wrong. This guy, I learned everything I know from him for the most part. I got started really with bare minimum, and he kind of upped my game. So I'm going to introduce you to Trung here from SS Custom Baits, the snakehead stalker. Welcome, Trung, to the podcast. I'm overjoyed to have you on board.
Well, thanks, guys. Like I said to you, Dan, I really appreciate this opportunity. You guys got a really good thing going on here. I will tell you one thing. There are a lot of better guys, a lot better snakehead fishermen than me. So we'll get that out of the way. But I'll talk about my experience with these fish that I'm in love with.
So getting in a little bit about how we first met. Now, I remember distinctly being we had like a group chat before. We hadn't met in person, but we found each other on some message boards on Facebook and stuff regarding snakeheads. We shared the passion. And then we were in a group, I think 5-6 guys. And then, there was one day I was out fishing and I caught a big one. And this guy came up and joined me that day and was pretty interested in the gear that I was using compared to the gear he was using.
So one of our buddies hit me up, text message, "Yo, Dan got a 12 pounder." I said, "What? No way." And he sends me the photos. I was like, "Damn, let me rush up there." So I pulled up. And there's this dude coming out of the weeds with like some waders on. He had some waders on.
Yep.
And a 7-foot surf rod and this tiny ass little mouse. And I was like, man, he caught that out of that. And I was impressed, man. I'm not gonna lie, but it's just like flabbergasted as far as his what the setup he was using.
I'll never forget. He goes, "So wait a second, you caught that fish on that thing with that rod?" I said, "Yeah, why? What's up? Yeah, what's up?" He goes, no, just like kind of scratching his head. No, that's okay. And I remember I was so excited about it. I was like, "Yeah, let me give you one of these mouse lures. Let me give you one." Like, he was like, "Oh, okay. Yeah." Like, it was just the funny thing because he was like, "Yeah, what am I going to do with this?"
I still got that mouse, man, sitting there. It's a souvenir. Damn, man, car is special, man.
Needless to say, I've come a long way. My gear has changed a bit, and here we are. So now you kind of you came to the country when you were younger. Now, when did your love of fishing start? Was it before you moved? You came from Vietnam when you were 5-6 years old.
I came here when I was 6 years old with my family, and I really didn't fish until I was 9 years old, in third grade. One of my friends like, "Hey, you want to go fishing after school?" I was like, "Fishing? Yeah, I never done that before. Let's go fishing." So it takes me like over to a spot like under a bridge. It's like a little creek, just a tiny little creek. And he brings just a rod and like a line attached to it, not even a reel. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. So these tiny little hooks, and we're just hooking like bread onto, you know, the hook and pulling up, like he catches these like 5-inch creek chubs. And I'm like, oh man, this is the coolest thing in the world. Just pulling creek chubs out of the creek, right? Every cast. And it's just like that spark that ignited in me. And so after that, I went out and I got a little setup and I went to the lake. I was like, there's got to be bigger fish down that lake. And so I started fishing for sunfish. Same deal, over a little bridge, and just put bread on the hook. And then one day I saw a bass. It was like 10 inches. I'm like, man, that's a big fish. So I tried to target that thing. I was like, oh, but it's not eating the bread. And then I started looking into reading books. I was like, oh, okay, we got to use lure space things. And then first bass I caught was 4 inches on a damn rattle trap. I hooked that thing like I do my hook sets. Went flying out of the water over my head, man.
My man here has like an ultra famous hook set. Like you could tune in to find him on YouTube and look up, was it the Snakehead Stalker? Look up the Snakehead Stalker on YouTube and look at this guy's hook sets. Incredible.
So we'll fast forward to the Snakehead. That's what we're talking about next. So with the Snakeheads, I had been fishing for bass since I was like probably like fourth grade, you know, 10 years old, up until I was like 20 something, maybe had a few lapses here and there. But I started hearing about snakeheads around the area. I was like, oh, like my house got snakeheads, new lake. Apparently they had been there for a while. I didn't know that because you never ran into them. So I started like actively trying to hunt for them. The first one I caught was like that big, probably like over a foot on a Senko. I was like, wow, that thing really, really gave me a good fight.
About when was this? Like what?
Probably like early 2015.
Okay.
So that really like ignited a new spark as far as fishing goes, because it was like a novelty. It's like, never experienced anything like that. I've fished for bass all my life. Anybody who's fished for bass all their life and has caught a snake, I'll tell you, that's, you get bitten by a snake. And like, you know, it's life changing. It's changed my life. So that's how that happened.
I remember early on, I think I might have found you on Instagram first, and you went by the name The Snakehead Stalker, which you still go by.
Yeah.
Where did that name come from?
The Snakehead Stalker. So when, during my process of learning about these fish, I had run, there weren't a lot of YouTube videos about snakehead fishing back then. A lot of it came from Asia. And one of my good friends now, Oz Bangkok Hooker, he would fish for him on fry, called stalking, fry stalking. And so the following year, or actually that year, when I started fish for him on fry, it was like close quarters, because the fish sometimes you can, they're just totally not shy. And like you stand right over top of them and you're trying to get them to eat a damn frog. And you're like, you're stalking. I was like, you're stalking these fish. So I was like, snakehead stalker. There you go.
There it is. And that was that easy.
Snakehead stalker. It was that simple. You know, I wasn't going to be calling myself the snakehead slayer or whatever. None of that silliness. It's simply snakehead stalking. That's still what I do. It's more stalking than catching, honestly.
I would say with snakeheads more than other fish,
yeah,
it is kind of a stalking thing, because oftentimes, you know, they see you before you see them.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's often you got to be in stealth mode for
right,
sure.
Right.
Now, you live in this area, which a lot of us snakehead anglers consider it the Mecca, you know, this general area around this area, Jersey, in the Philadelphia region, there's snakeheads everywhere. What is it that you look for that makes you travel elsewhere for northern snakeheads?
For northern snakeheads, honestly, you know, as big as the size of snakeheads we get, let's be honest, we don't get like crazy amount of double digits as like Virginia or Maryland get. It's just, you know, they get bigger fish down there. So if I'm going to try to go after bigger fish, I'm going to go down there. Also, you know, the change of scenery. There's only so many places around here that we fish for them. And I enjoy just fishing in new places. And really, that's a segue to what I think as far as fishing in other places around the world.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I totally get that. You guys, our viewers will know that I fish all over the place. One day I could be fishing Virginia. The next day I could be fishing the very tip of New Jersey. I'm all over the place. I'm very mobile because I'm always chasing something else. You know, looking for a trophy fish or this option or this option. So I understand that.
Sure. Sure. You know, you enjoy the change of scenery and you enjoy the challenge of fishing a new body of water, figuring it out.
Not to mention a lot of the reasons why I will travel for snakeheads is because other areas will see them get active a little bit earlier than we do.
Yeah, that too.
We seem to be a bit later. Should be kicking off here out in that with this warm up next couple of weeks, I would imagine. But late March, early April, I target them here, but I've caught them in January in other states.
So. Right.
So I chase the bite essentially personally. I just go where I know that they're going to be awake. So now, how many species of snakeheads have you caught? Now I think I know this answer, but how many have you caught so far?
So I'll name them. Northern snakehead was the first one. Then it was a bullseye snakehead down in South Florida. Then it was the giant snakehead. And then a striped snakehead as well.
Okay.
So that's four.
Four. Yeah. Now, if you had a choice to target one of those species that you've caught so far indefinitely, and you can't target any other snakeheads, which would it be?
If I had one, I would, hands down, giant snakehead.
That's an easy answer there.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Yeah. They're crazy. They get enormous.
Just everything about that fishing style was just, for a power fisherman, you can't ask for more. The areas that you fish for them, like probably the most beautiful landscape I've ever fished in was a reservoir in Thailand. That one year in 2017, I went fishing for them. And it was just a massive reservoir the size of like Bangkok City. In the morning you woke up and you see like, it was like a movie. It was like King Kong. You see like mist rolling down the mountain and like all this vegetation everywhere. And, the fish themselves, man, you burn the lures as fast as you can reel. And they will like explode on top of like a great white shark.
And I remember seeing some of your pictures and videos, like the fry balls will be there 1 second.
Yeah.
Disappear.
It's not like a northern fry ball where like you actually get to see them constantly bubble up. Like the fry themselves, aren't tiny. The fry, I caught a fry on a buzzbait. And I was like, and my buddy I said, no, man, that's the fry. I was like, that's a freaking fry?
Wait a minute.
Like, I didn't know this. Like, the fry get that big and they still stay with the mama? The fry was like that big. It was like 8 inches long.
That's like a regular catch sometimes for us northerns. Yeah.
Basically, the analogy is you're playing whack-a-mole when you're stalking those fry because they'll die with their mama. And then they'll pop up somewhere else. And then the boat's got to follow them. And you're just waiting to throw a cast. And you got to be quick, though, because they'll go right back down. You know where they are.
Yeah. Yep. Now, with northern snakeheads, as some of you may know, and you can kind of really settle in and wait for the fry ball to move around. You can follow it for longer periods of time. And just kind of, if that's your game to work the fry balls, you can actually kind of key in on those and they stay around for a while. They don't really dissipate. They'll dive and pop back up a couple feet this way, that way. But northern snakeheads compared to the giant snakeheads, completely different ball game.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any plans to add on to the list of snakeheads that you've caught so far, like different species?
There may be I'll try to answer this question two parts. There's probably a couple more species only because most of the other species are pretty small. Really, the one species they call it it's not coming to me right now. There's one of the emperor snakehead. This gets a really bright orange color, really pretty fish. It's kind of like a bullseye snakehead, like a shortened, fatter version of a bullseye snakehead. It's called an emperor snakehead. And the other one is called, I think, the Chana Barca. It has like, they come in like all types of colors, like green, blue, and they have like three things on their the side of the body looks like balls. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I think you've shown me a picture of that.
Yeah, it's a really pretty species that's only like in Indonesia or something. And The other answer, my other answer to that question is I'd like to fish for like the same species in other countries. So like a giant snakehead, as much as they're one single species, for some reason or another, when you go to like different countries, it's like they have like different adaptations. Did you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So like a Malaysian giant snakehead looks different like than a Thai snakehead. It's kind of, it's really weird. Like Malaysian giant snakehead are really freaking pretty. Yeah.
I will say like even the, so even as you travel the states where the Northerns are,
you kind of
target them differently.
Yeah.
Depending upon where you are. I'll put it this way. I target them a lot differently here than I do when I travel down south.
Yeah.
You know, even down south, you can get on a nice northern snakehead bite with minnows, which up here, I don't know that many people have gotten into that avenue for targeting them. I've never tried it.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine there's a possibility that there's something with that.
It would work, but it's just not really heard of.
No, yeah. You don't. Everybody's all artificials up here, which, hey, I'm all for. Yeah. But there is something to be said if you're looking to harvest a lot of fish. You know, that's a good way to do it if you go down south, because they get them loaded up on minnows, and that seems to be the ticket, especially early season.
Yeah.
Now let's back up for a moment. Right now is kind of where I start fine tuning my gear selection for the spring season, which is going to differ significantly from as you advance to top water and everything.
Yeah.
Me personally, spinnerbaits, can't go wrong. Chatterbaits as well. You have some inline spinners that are excellent. What three lures are you picking up every time when you go out snakehead fishing early spring?
Early spring. I mean, my favorite is a spinnerbait. I just like throwing a spinnerbait. Second one would be inline spinner. Third one's chatterbait.
I think I'm in the same boat with you.
Yeah.
Now, I know when we first started, when we first met, you know, we were fishing some pretty.
I will say this: when I first targeted these fish, I was under the mindset that they were really like a topwater fish. Like I had it in my head that, oh, I'm gonna throw topwater for these fish all the time, and it really limited me in terms of like being versatile. But you know, after a while, after targeting them, kind of opens up your mind. Yeah.
Now I know when we first started, like when we first became friends and started, you know, really, really, really heavy into snakeheads, we were using like the Terminator lures, and we were using bunch of the other spinner baits. And we just found that we had a problem because they would last for 3-4 fish. And the Terminator
was like
the best
you can pick for like, a snakehead lure.
Yeah.
You know, because of that that titanium wire.
And then this guy here created the company SS Custom Baits, and the rest is history. You know, he's with his partner Tyler, they create these spinner baits that are uncanny. They hold up. I mean, last spring I had 42 fish on one spinner bait until I lost the spinner bait. It was still catching fish. So overbuilt, great lure selection from his company. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit. This is my favorite season to target snakeheads. Personally, I find that topwater is exciting initially, and then the fish tends to give up. Now, topwater for me is an exciting thing just in general because you can't beat that bite. But as far as overall, you know, overall quality of the fight from start to finish, I've never had an experience where a snakehead doesn't fight from all the way in on a subsurface.
They seem to run more.
Yeah.
They seem to run a lot more when you hit them.
A lot more head shakes.
I think there's a reason for that. And I was saying earlier, so in Asia, when they fish for the giant snakeheads, when they're on a fish, their primary goal with that fish is to actually keep its head above water as much as possible. So they keep that rod high, trying to get that fish to surface. Apparently that gasses them out. So my hypothesis is that with northern snakehead, when you hit them on top water, they grab the frog, you set the hook, what do? Launch out to the water and stay on top, head shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably gassing them out. That's why, you know, and then all you got the weeds all over their face.
Yeah.
It's probably calming them down. That's why most of the time you're dragging in just dead weight.
Yeah, you liken it to like a wet rag, or like a wet towel being dragged in, whereas subsurface, they continue to fight all the way until you get them on land. And then both scenarios, you get the death rolls shortly thereafter. What is your favorite season to target snakeheads?
Oh, my favorite season. It used to be like in the heat of summer with frogs, but you know, as I grew as an angler, honestly, it's probably like about to start.
Personally, I know in the beginning, I didn't even target them until like June when I knew that they were going to start hitting top water.
Yeah.
And then it was what, like maybe 4 years ago, I started, you know, on subsurface.
We're talking northern snakeheads.
Yeah, northern snakeheads, right. Northern snakeheads, that's just my preferred way to target them. And by the time the vegetation grows in, I'll hit some top water sessions shortly, here and there. But, you know, the subsurface bite is my favorite bite. So when is it that you change your approach? Like, I look for the point where my subsurface lures can no longer move through the vegetation.
You're exactly right. Like, I'll fish up until the point where like my blade keeps catching onto something, or I'll look for like pockets.
Yeah. Even just like a
line,
a couple feet of
like a cut that, you know, because a lot of times you get hits right into those cuts. But like, you know, with our areas and where northern snakehead hang out, it gets choked up with hydrilla pretty quick. And that's just their ideal location. So after a certain point, you can't really throw subsurface anymore.
And when you switch to top water, what types of conditions do you prefer? Now, I've talked to like guys down south, like Stephen Camboris, and he prefers an overcast day over the bluebird skies. But I found my best days have been, you know, those bluebird sky days.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, you talk to like a lot of people down south, like Maryland areas, and they'll say like cloudy days and stuff. Whereas like in my experience, I always called them solar powered fish. Because it seems like whenever the sun's like blazing out, you find them in like shallow flats and stuff, and or just hanging out, peeking their heads out of like pockets of open hydrilla, waiting for something to come up.
I've walked up on them when probably an inch and a half of their back is up out of the water, just sitting there in like an inch of water.
Yeah, right? You see the fins out.
Yeah, like three or four of them right next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, those were my good days in my experience to target them with the frog in the summer.
So going back to that conversation, adding on a little bit, your ideal timing of the day. I personally, like in the early spring, that last probably 2 hours of sunlight is money. Like magic hour for striped bass or anything else. I also find like when we're talking early season, the water's had enough time to warm up. Just when the sun's a little bit over the trees is my best time. Now, maybe because that's my only available time with work and all, but that seems to be the time. Like I had a couple of days where I had, you know, 20, 30 fish in a couple hours without moving. What time do you, is it just availability of time or is there a specific time? If you were sitting here like, man, I really want to go fishing today. I have all day. What time are you picking out of the day to target them?
I would have to say, for some reason or another, I haven't had much luck fishing for them before 10 a.m. It was like, this is going back to that, what I was saying about like being the sun, being a solar power fish. For some reason or another, I just have never had luck, like not never, maybe once or twice. Don't have much luck before 10 a.m. So like I'll go anytime after 10 a.m. until into the evening.
Yeah,
that seems to be my window.
I can't sit here and say I've caught a ton of them before.
Yeah, it's weird.
Early mornings either. Yeah. I've had a couple of days where it just started off really, really hot already.
Yeah,
midsummer.
Yeah.
And then the sun comes right up and they're ready to roll. But it's very, very, very few and far.
You can imagine too. These fish, they have small eyes. Mm-hmm. So that might have something to do with it too.
Now we're gonna transition over here to talk about how SS Custom Baits came about. Obviously, you know, we've talked about this throughout our friendship, and I know that you longed for a better product while you're out there, just because you can have one of your spinner baits will stack up to maybe three Terminators. It's just about quality products, quality.
Our lures were born out of the idea that one, there was literally no suitable product for this market segment for snakeheads, not in America. You get stuff from Asia, but you know, it's not really viable. It's not really here. So I wanted to make one for, you know, American people, for the American market, for the American snakehead market, northern and bullseyes. Let's take a spinnerbait, for example. The biggest problem you've run into, you know, Terminator actually used to be really good quality before they sold to Rapala. And actually these days, they don't even make the titanium. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I knew that because you told me.
Oh, okay.
But I knew that.
That was my favorite spinnerbait.
Yeah.
And it was discontinued. I said, well, what the heck? I did end up buying some heavy duty ones, which weren't like really, it was heavy duty for bass, but like for snakehead, not much. So the biggest problem that you have to deal with, you know, wire is one thing. But you have two, one, the hook, and two, the lead composite. What we're finding out happening with fishing for bullseyes with the Terminators, the lead composite was really soft. And so after a while, the wire would start bending like this, and it would start opening a gap in the head of the spinnerbait.
Mm-hmm.
A few death rolls into it, and it twisted the damn wire right off. And you reel back just a wire and the blades. And that would happen a lot with bullseye snakeheads because they death roll a lot more. So early on, we ran into the same issue. We fixed that. We added a harder composite into our lures. But then you have issue of hooks. Most hooks are fine for bass. If you're fishing with any type of drag at all, you let that fish run. A lot of times with snakeheads, at least for Florida people, they have limestone. Like drop offs and pockets in the limestone, and so they fish with their drag locked a lot of times. And so you have a weak hook, that fish is going to run and spin out your hook. It happens a lot, and so you got to beef up every single part of your lure. Any weakness in your lure, the snakehead will exploit it. Any weakness.
It's a true story. Yeah. I'll never forget. You, me, Julian, Tyler, Mikey, we would all be lined up throwing our spinner baits, and I would bring probably 10 of them because I knew, if I caught a fish.
Yeah. I remember you used to have a lot of
them. I have a big box, like a big spinner bait box. I do. I still have them all, but I stopped using them because now I'm on the SS Custom. But I got to the point where, I was going through 5-6 spinner baits at, $7 to $11 a pop. You're right. Like, Jesus Christ, there's got to be a better way.
Those Terminator spinnerbaits. They're like $10, $11.
Yeah.
You could probably catch like 50 bass on them, but like you go through like 3 snakeheads, you're done.
Especially if it's a quality snakehead.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a good one. Yeah. You're done.
So our claim to fame, our like one of our flagship lures, the Cobra spinnerbait, named after the bullseye snakehead, Cobra snakehead. You probably have a record for Northerns. What was it?
So I got 42 fish on one Cobra snakehead or Cobra spinnerbait, with 39 of them being snakeheads, 3 bass.
And one of my other buddies in Florida, he got something in the high 30s as far as bullseye snakehead.
Be prepared. That's going to get challenged this year.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. It's going to get challenged this year. I think it's going to go down this year.
Yeah. If you don't lose it, I want to see how many you get.
You got it. So talk to me a little bit about what you have in your lineup. Like what types of, what are your spinnerbait names and sizes and such?
We have 3 sizes. All lures pretty much come in 3 sizes, 1/4 ounce, 3/8, and 1/2 ounce. With the exception of our big spinnerbait. We'll get to that. We have the chatterbait style, the Argus bladed jig, Argus, like as in China Argus, the northern scientific name for the northern snakehead. That's our heavy duty chatterbait. Then we have Cobra spinnerbait, comes in willow in Colorado, willow in Oklahoma. We have the dragon buzzbait in 2 variations. It's fixed and a free swinging. We have 2 frogs, a large frog and a smaller popping frog.
The frogs are money, by the way. All of them are money, but these frogs are money. It's very hard to find a good frog out there.
It's a unique frog in that it's a I picked it because it's a Japanese style. It's a the style the Japanese northern snakehead fishermen use. Doesn't come with a skirt. It has a little blade in the back, which these days are pretty common. And then it's weighted. The hook is actually epoxied onto the body so that it doesn't come apart on you, which is pretty cool. That's unique.
And as if you're any kind of snakehead fisherman or just getting started, you know that they're always 5 feet further than where you're casting. His lures get you that extra 5 feet.
There you go.
They just fly, and they get you where you need to be. And that's the biggest thing is distance is key. And they float amazing and swim amazing. I've used them. I caught a lot of fish on them last year. They're going to be my only topwater frog that I'll be using this year.
I want to save one of the best for last, the inline spinner, which arguably probably has been our most successful in terms of fish catching. Seriously, that lure is like so simplistic, but damn, it really slays. It comes in treble and weedless, so you can rig a swim bait or what have you.
Very nice. Yeah. Now, there will be a separate video down the road where we're going to get into a little tackle talk with Trump.
Looking forward to that. I talk about my lures all day.
Yeah, we'll have a video segment where we can lay out the lures and see exactly what he has to offer. Right now, we're just kind of briefly touching on it, but there'll be more information. We'll link up his website, how you can get in touch with Trump through SS Customs here at the end. But there will be a separate segment further down the road, not too far down the road, where we're going to do a video portion, which will get uploaded to YouTube and the video podcasts and such, where he'll get to be in his heyday talking about all of his amazing lures. And I'm not just saying this because he's my friend.
Get on my soapbox.
I'm not just saying this because he's a good buddy of mine. The lures work. They're great. Promise you.
I appreciate that, Dan.
Now, do you have any non-snakehead fishing trips planned coming up?
Oh, absolutely. I always have non-snakehead. I've really branched out as an angler, and I think you've seen that.
I have. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, man. You know, why catch one fish when there are a ton of other fish to catch, which I'm going to plug my lures into it too. Our lures have caught a variety of fish, big fish, you know. One of the most impressive ones, probably like 18-pound jack crawl.
Very nice.
Insane.
And then am I wrong? I believe you got a muskie on one of your lures.
I got
too.
A muskie on my spinnerbait, yes.
17-pound
muskie.
This is another thing. You know, this isn't these baits, while they're SS Customs, they're designed to withstand snakeheads. That just means they're overbuilt for everything else. It's just like the muskies, pike, you know, your chain pickerel, bowfin. They're all going to work perfectly for those. And I'm going to be throwing his lure sack muskies here probably within the next few weeks. You know, I got a couple muskie trips I'm going to be jumping in, and I don't see why I would try and grab for any other spinner baits. They work.
I forgot to say, we got one other lure, our King Cobra spinnerbait, which is it's the Cobra spinnerbait's bigger brother. Comes in 3/4 and 1 ounce. It's actually a little bit heavier than that because of everything else that's on it. It's just bigger version. It's great for bigger fish like huge snakehead or muskie or northern pike, what have you.
Now, you know, we were just talking about you branching out to other fish. I remember conversations in the past where you're like, what do I need to chase other fish for? What was it? What was it that changed your mind?
I think just the experience of fishing. I never used to surf fish a lot. The more I surf fish, the more I enjoyed it. The more I, you know, went fishing in the Back Bay, the more I enjoyed it. I did an inshore trip down in Florida catching other species. And, you know, it's just, again, it goes back to that different, you get a different experience, you get different sights, different style of fishing. If money weren't an issue, I'd fish everywhere, man. I got a lot of species to check off, just like any hardcore angler, you know. I'd like to eventually do an Amazon trip.
Okay.
For peacock bass.
Very nice. Have you caught peacock bass before?
Only the ones in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, our Cobra Spin Break got an Amazon Peacock too, so I'm pretty proud of that as well.
Very nice. Can't beat that. Yeah, yeah. You got a lot of chinks to speak about. Now, whenever you're targeting other fish, is it more difficult for you since you haven't been doing that the whole time along to kind of key in on what they're feeding on, what to be throwing, where you should be targeting them, those sort of things, like all the details? Does it feel like you're relearning certain things, or you just got to educate yourself before you go out?
I think, we're creatures of habit. We got a mindset going into, especially targeting new species. Like, you have an idea in your head what you think the experience might be, but when you actually do it, there's all kinds of curveballs that come into play, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got to be willing to adapt, to try to make it successful or not. And if you're not successful, you're still learning.
I think when I first met you, I was like snakehead crazy, and that's all I would target for the first, I don't know, two or three summers you knew me. And then it just finally got to the point where I felt like I needed something else, because, you know, I felt like I figured out the snakeheads and I wanted to branch out and figure something else out. And I would always go back around. But what I did find is that my experience fishing for snakeheads improved me, my experience fishing for this fish or that fish.
Yeah.
Bass, for example. I mean, you target them both the same way. I won't call myself a bass fisherman, but if I wanted to go out bass fishing, I feel like it would be more successful based off of what I've done.
It's very similar. It's kind of similar in that regard. I think I like striper fishing these days. I take a lot of what I learned from snakehead and I put it to my striper fishing.
Yeah, for me, like, I'm a crazy walleye angler, but fishing the river has actually improved my fluke fishing on foot, because it's kind of the same idea. You know, you're ticking along the bottom. So there's a lot of carryover when you're talking about different species. Now we're gonna start to wrap up here. Now, where can we find you on social media, whether it be your personal Instagram page, SS Custom Baits? Where can we find, how do we purchase your lures?
Currently, you can purchase our lures through our website, which will be linked to this podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram, SS Custom Baits. We haven't officially set up an e-commerce platform yet, unfortunately. Make things easier for our customers. We will do that very soon. In the meantime, you can just basically direct message or contact us through that email link in the website, and we'll get back to you.
Anything else you care to share?
No, I'm just really honored to be on your guys' show. Appreciate it.
Listen, whenever we started this, I was like, man, I like to try. I'm trying to organize things in a manner where it makes sense seasonally. So obviously we talked striped bass previously. Yeah. We got snakeheads coming up. It just makes sense. You're the guy. You're the guy around here for snakeheads. You know, and then you make
appreciate you thinking about me.
You make a quality product that I don't think I could fish without it now. So
all right,
why won't I talk to you about it and bring you to our followers here? So this is Trung, SS Custom Baits. It's at SS Custom Baits on Instagram, facebook.com/SS Custom Baits.
Probably search it up.
Search it up.
Custom Baits.
And then you can also find him at the Snakehead Stalker on Instagram as well. I gotta say, I love the baits. Check them out. And beyond that, we're gonna be having a giveaway coming up. SS Custom Baits. We're gonna be putting together a giveaway soon. Trung here has decided that he wants you guys to feel what we feel when we're using his lures, and he's got something coming for us. So we'll be announcing that shortly.
Small little giveaway for you guys.
What's up, guys? That was a really good show.
All right. Glad you thought so.
I know, but we haven't finished yet. I didn't stop recording. I was saving a little bit of time at the end for a little bit of Googling questions, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, okay.
I was doing a little backtracking, writing a couple things down. So since I've only been doing this a year, I just wanted to know from the pros' perspective. All right. And this is the things I've noticed as I've been doing fishing for them. I've only done the top bar thing, so most of it's going to go with that. So when I usually fish for them, I'll get one to hit a frog. Mm-hmm. He'll bite it, spit it. I'll bring it back in. What's the odds of them hitting again if I throw it into the same spot? like if he's already been stung by the hook? Will he, the odds of it, will he hit that frog again?
You probably agree with me. For northern snakehead, very likely.
Extreme.
I mean, I would say more chances than not, he's going to eat your frog again.
Okay. How
many times? I'll answer this question first. Mm-hmm. For me, I've had a snakehead come back countless times before I ended up sticking that. Sometimes you stick them and they'll still come back for it.
It's true.
That's how crazy this fish are.
I've caught the same fish twice in one day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's even crazier.
it still had the two little lip marks from when I pulled the lure out.
You can't speak about every single fish. You have that one fish that hit once and you're like, oh, he's going to come back. And they never come back. And you're like, damn, what the hell happened? But odds are for northern snakeheads, just keep trying. Persevere. You'll probably get that fish. If you know he's right there and you didn't see any swirl moving away, he's still there. Check it right back in.
And actually, another thing is like when you find one that turns on, it's likely that they're all ready to feed. So there might be another one close by that's going to hit your lure too. So, you know, they kind of compete. Like a couple of spots I've shown you, you know, I've physically watched them compete for the same lure. So I would always throw it back in there. If you miss, even if you hook one up and you drop them off like halfway through the retrieve, throw it back in at them. They'll be ready to eat.
It's very contrary to the bullseye snakehead. Like people like the, you know, a lot of people, they hear snakehead, they think they're gonna lump it into like one species. It's like, you know, these two fish are like couldn't be much more different aside from maybe they look kind of similar. If bullseye hits snakehead hits you once, it's gone. Like no second chance. Yeah.
Now, have you found like the demeanor between the four that you've caught different?
Yeah. Everybody thinks like giant snake is like the absolute meanest thing, right? One, no death roll. Two, you got it in your lap. It's like a baby. There. It stays there. It's crazy. Yeah. I was like, you expect a freak out like a northern, mm-hmm. right? Nope. Just stays there in your lap like a little baby. I was like, look at this thing. It just stayed there until I released it.
Yeah. The most action you get from a northern is a lot of times when you're unhooking the fish. Yeah.
Northerns are the absolute meanest of the four that I've caught.
But you would say, I think you've told me this before, you find the bull's head are probably the most aggressive on the take, right?
Bullseye, they're pretty damn aggressive. I mean, they'll tail, they'll follow and follow and follow until they get your lure. But if they miss, they're gone. That's the thing about that.
Great answer. I got two more. I got two more to go real quick when we sign off. When you first find that very first fry ball, this is for the new guys, you know, amateurs. What's the best way to work that fry ball? And I've seen a couple of your videos on YouTube and you've shown people how to work these fry balls. I need you to just kind of explain how you work this fry ball. Just say from shore, you spot a fry ball about 20 yards out. What's the best tactic to just work that fry ball?
Hey man, I'm super aggressive. I'm sending a frog right past that fry ball and I'm walking it in. And two things it's going to tell me. If that fish is aggressive, if those parents are aggressive, they're going to immediately take it. Immediately. If they're kind of like, what's this? They'll come up and expect it, right? They'll come up, you'll see them come onto it and like kind of inspect it. They might take it, they might not. Or three, you'll see them and they'll have absolutely no interest in it. I feel in that instance, those fish have probably been caught before or they're wise to it, or they're just like, whatever, I don't care. You get that?
Yeah. So yeah. Personally, me, I do the same thing. I'll probably blast it like 10 feet past because sometimes the parents aren't right on top of the babies.
Yeah.
They'll be in a big circle around it. A lot of times you're casting a distance. You don't know how big that fry ball is. If it's been split up, sometimes they split up.
Sometimes split up in two, three. And you're like, is there two fry balls?
It looks like you have fry balls merging.
Right, right.
I personally haven't fished a fry ball knowingly probably in 2 or 3 years. I just like the challenge personally. I guarantee you at some point I've found one under a fry ball and it's just basically the way I've always done it. And there's two ways I'll do it. You know, if you throw a top water selection out there and you drop it right in the middle where you expect that fish to be and they don't, I just kind of let it sit there, wiggle it around, tap it, twitch it. If I don't get a bite within probably I don't know, 30, 45 seconds somewhere, I'll reel it back in and recast, like fan cast around the fry ball, because the parents likely weren't right in the middle of their babies at that point. If that doesn't work, I'll throw something like a Kytec rigged weedless on a weighted hook and try to run it through the bottom if it's available, you know, with vegetation. Likely not, but you gotta hit every angle. You know, if they're not hitting up top, you gotta try and send something right through the middle of them. And that's probably your best bet personally from what I've done.
Kind of, I want to say your last resort, but it's almost like a secret weapon as well. If you're not getting any take on that frog, and really the one other thing that would take is a weightless Zoom fluke. That can be deadly sometimes to entice them to bite.
I've watched there's a guy named Brennan, and I'm throwing my spinner bait, and I'm watching. I'm slaying on one side, he's slaying on the other side, and he's using that weightless Zoom fluke.
Sometimes they'll destroy those, man.
Yeah,
a lot of times actually. You know, it's not sexy, but it gets the job done. Yeah, for sure.
All right. I like that answer. Now, we're down to our last and final question for myself. What is your biggest northern dragon, your biggest PB so far in the past few years?
Not that big, 10 pounds.
10 on the dot. Is that the one you had on video?
That was, yeah. Yeah, down in Maryland.
Steve Kimbor's.
Yeah. I actually have footage of that. I just never put it up. But okay. Yeah, that was my biggest one.
Mm-hmm. I got a 13.4 pounder last year.
That's a good fish.
I think it was like very beginning of June. Still throwing spinner baits.
Was it down there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Was it here?
It was in the Mecca. I'm not going to get the into Mecca. Names. Okay. You know where the Mecca is.
I broke off pretty one. I broke one off last year.
You Dan did? Was there. Oh, it was the worst.
Oh, man.
We're fishing and this guy, I'm trying to teach him, right? He's using like a leader.
Yeah.
And he's what, 20 pound test, 15 pound test?
20.
Throwing in the muck. I'm like, it ain't going to work. Oh, he goes, he sets the hook and it's like, boom. And the hook, his rod's bent over and he cannot move the fish. And
she's not
like,
coming up. She did not want to come up.
And it just, I'm like, oh my God, that was a good fish. Oh, like, you know, man. Good fish when you see it.
It was two fish out of that same hole. I pulled, the first one that came up was a six and a half. And then I threw it right back in there. And then this one came out of nowhere. She big rolled fish. On it and I saw her body. I was just like, oh my Lord, that's a dragon.
Wow. Words to the wise. Nothing but braid. Straight braid.
He's
yeah, I'm learning.
Roll your eyes.
I'm learning. Last year I was running. This is my setup. You'll probably laugh at me. It was like literally an inshore setup. It's like a tsunami shield, carbon shield 2 rod. I was on my Shimano. It was on my what the heck was it?
Stratic?
Yeah, my Stratic. There you go. It was my 2500 Stratic, 15 pound braid, uni knot to 20 pound leader, and a frog.
Oh man, this is so funny.
It's like looking into a mirror in a gear he's using.
This is just what happens when we switch to another style of fishing. Like we think we're going to do something, but the experience ends up being completely different. And so like that's a typical like saltwater setup that would be perfectly fine, you know. But what you got to remember, you're not just dealing with the fish,
right?
You're dealing with whatever that fish is getting into,
right? But and here's
the thing: I have a short little story to share as well.
Go ahead.
I took Scott out. Last year, same setup. I kid you not. Say, what's with you guys at 15 pound braid?
Because we're sheephead fishing and bass fishing.
Probably. So yeah, like 7 foot rod.
Because we're lazy.
So he's throwing out the frogs and he hooks him. It was actually ended up being his PB. He hooks into it, and so he's fighting it. But you know you can't overpower with that kind of setup. So he's fighting it. And he's running him around. Ends up getting him into a damn log. And he didn't break it off. So he didn't break it off. But it was just kind of stuck then. He was like, oh man, what am I going to do? You know what I did? I chucked my damn frog out, snagged it on a log and reeled it along. He's like, oh my God.
It's because you had the right braid on.
The pound braid, man.
I mean,
nothing. So yeah, poor, he was like, oh man, that's incredible. Thank you so much.
I mean, this year I'm ready. You know, I got the Shimano Corrado.
There you go.
And then I have 50-pound braid, and I'm set. I just got to learn how to.
Now I'm doing what you did for me.
It wasn't that long ago. I was showing you how to throw a baitcaster, man.
I'll never forget one of our first. Was that the first time?
That was like the first time after
the fish.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that fish that I met you.
Yeah, he and Andrew taught me.
You picked my brain for that setup. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He and Andrew taught. Well, first off, he taught me how to spend $600 on a setup real quick, like super quick.
Master enabler that I am.
Yeah, he did actually suggest maybe you should buy something a little bit cheaper. I said no. I said if I buy this setup, I know I'm going to force myself to use it, and the rest is history. Now that's all I throw for sink heads is a baitcaster. So.
I mean, once we get into tackle talk, we're gonna have to go through freaking Trung's arsenal, man. He's got some like heavy mecha gear. He's got some heavy mecha gear. Like every time I see him post, I'm like, yo, that reel looks like it belongs in a museum. That thing's like the Van Stall of freaking baitcasters, man.
He's over here powder coating them and making everything.
Seriously, like I'll pull out my Van Stalls and everything in my house, and it would line up right with his. His is like, yep, these are my Van Stalls.
And not to mention, like when I another thing when I first met him is, and maybe you still do this, but live target mouse was like our biggest.
I love that lure.
Our biggest lure. And he's throwing the 90T, which is like that big. It's like a 6-inch, 7-inch lure.
It gets you far.
You know? I'm intimidated by it. I'll be honest with you. I have them. I've never caught a fish.
And I've only pulled big fish off that lure.
It is a big fish lure for sure.
Obviously. Here's my question. When are we going to see the SS mouse come out?
Oh, you know what? I can't say anything about it.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Stay tuned.
I can't say anything about it. That's all I'll say about that.
Stay tuned, folks.
Everyone stay tuned. Keep following us. Keep following SS Customs. You'll be able to find out all these new product releases if they ever do come. But besides that, any last words from you, Trump?
No, sir. That's it. Again, thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate I do have a last word for you, though.
Yeah.
You know, I have a boat. You're welcome on my boat anytime you want. I
appreciate it.
You just shoot me a message. You know, we can do the backwater flat skiff all day. If you want to learn how to fly fish, that's my thing.
Oh, wow. Wait, now you're enabling me.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Fly fish for snakes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
Fred Dewey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to see if you guys get Fred Dewey's on this because, you know, fly fishing, snakehead,
it's kind of my thing. He'll love it.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely going to have to reach out to him. But besides that, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on our very third episode. Once again, big shout outs, big thank you for Trung over there for coming on, talking. But stay tuned. We're going to get, there will be probably a part two of this because Trung doesn't seem like he wants to stop talking about snakeheads. And I don't think either one of us wants to stop listening. So we're going to bring him back for a part two. We're going to go a little bit in more deep, a little bit more techniques, a little bit more of his special skill. We got to pick that brain, you know, that big brain up there is going to give us more snakehead info. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us and have a great night.